All right, welcome this evening. We're going to get started with the Commerce Committee being called to order. And the first bill on the agenda is the Senate File 218, the Airport Zoning Regulations. Oh, I'm sorry. Did we change the...
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, I think, is in judiciary. Until she comes, we'll...
I see that. Okay, the first bill we're going to do is the second one on the agenda, Senate File 1542. Senator Scheid.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. This bill actually is going to have an amendment which should probably be passed out as well, the A1, unless members have that already. And I want to tell you this bill was brought to me by auto repair folks, and having to do with how they make decisions about what parts are necessary to repair a car and how that interfaces with the insurance company, the drivers or the automobile owner's insurance company and policy. So I would like to... I think I'm going to offer the amendment.
That makes sense. All the members have the A1 amendment. And this is an author's amendment, first committee. So all those members in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Yeah. The amendment carries, and the A1 amendment is adopted. We have the bill before us.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, and who would like to? You'll go first and just identify yourself.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Darrell Amberson. I am president of Layman's Garage. Layman's Garage has been in business for 90 years, and we have mechanical and collision repair shops in 6 locations across the metro area. I am testifying today on behalf of the Alliance of Automotive Service Providers of Minnesota. AASPMN is a trade association representing over 600 mechanical and collision repair shops across the state of Minnesota. We are pleased to be testifying in support of Senator Scheid's bill, which will address certain practices that are occurring in the insurance claims process. AASP Minnesota supports the 2 new provisions which Senate File 1542 would add to our state statute limiting certain insurance company practices. We are coming to you with considerable experience and frustration in dealing with the practices we would now ask you to prohibit. First, the new subpart E would require that an insurance company actually physically inspect the vehicle if they are going to make adjustments to a repair estimate. It is incredibly frustrating and creates substantial delays for customers in the repair process when third-party out-of-state desk auditors call into question our repair estimates. We routinely electronically submit photos of damaged vehicles to insurers. These two-dimensional images can help verify that a vehicle has sustained damage, but are of marginal value in evaluating the specific steps required to effect repairs. These third-party desk auditors are relying on photos to write down our repair estimates. This second guessing of the repair industry has been increasingly arbitrary in nature. We have no choice but to contest these write-downs, and while we are going back and forth with these third-party desk auditors, the repair process is delayed. Subparty E simply says if the extent of damage identified on the repair estimate is in dispute, the insurer needs to have somebody physically inspect the vehicle. The provision which appears in subpart G in the bill would prohibit insurance companies from requiring repair shops to use particular parts vendors. We have considerable experience with shops that have been told that they must use particular parts vendors. Increasingly, these vendors can be out of state and are companies with whom the repair shop has no business relationship. We have many examples of parts arriving at our shops which are not of the proper quality or even manufactured to fit in the vehicle which we were working. We have to go to the trouble of finding another appropriate part and trying to send the useless part back to the vendor. Since this vendor is not someone of whom we have a business relationship, they impose shipping costs on our repair shops in order to ship the unusable part back to them. These increasing costs, it also causes delay, it interferes with the business relationships that we have with parts suppliers and dealerships within our own community. This is a practice that is problematic on many levels and is one that we want to prohibit in Minnesota law. The Alliance of Automotive Service Providers is very appreciative of this opportunity to testify in support of Senator Scheid's bill. We're also pleased that we have allies in the parts supply industry and from the Minnesota Automobile Dealers Association. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Amberson. We have some more testimony?
Yes, please.
Please identify your name and who you represent for the
I
record.
I will do that. Mr. Chair, member of the committee, my name is Ken Prom. I am the general manager of Action Auto Parts right here in St. Paul. We've been in the automotive industry in Minnesota for 24 years. We have developed a great working relationship with automotive repair shops in the state and pride ourselves on the quality of parts and our service to the repair industry, which is long-standing relationships. We support Senator Scheid's bill and are particularly interested in provision which appears in the subpart G in the bill. The provision would prohibit insurers from dictating to a repair shop what vendors they would use to purchase parts to repair a damaged vehicle. Conducting an internet search to find the cheapest possible parts is not necessarily the way to keep the repair process on track. Requiring shops to use unknown and oftentimes geographically distant vendors can actually cause delays and increase cost in the repair process. Not all vendors are created equal. In the salvage business, for instance, factors to consider before choosing a vendor and a part include adherence to professional and ethic business practices, customer service satisfaction, delivery service, and product warranties. The source of damage, especially flood damage, accurate and consistent standards for describing and grading or coding of damage, and proper dismantling and inspection procedures, safe disposal of fluids and other hazardous materials. Businesses like ours are in a closer proximity to the repair shops we supply. It's this business relationship with our repair shop which ensures that we will get things right and rapidly correct any missed deliveries or inappropriate parts. The business relationship also helps us to prevent delays in the repair process, avoid the expense and inconvenience mentioned earlier regarding the return shipment of parts which were not appropriate to repair vehicles. We have a competitive automotive parts industry in Minnesota. We are responsive to the repair process as we must remain in business. Prohibiting insurers from dictating parts vendors may actually speed up the repair process. Further, there will be less adverse impact in the marketplace when local businesses that have established business relationships are allowed to conduct business with one another. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of Senator Scheid's bill. I would stand for any questions from the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Prom.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, if you look early in the current law, let's say, for example, on 1.9, we already have in statute that that the insurance company is not going to be, can't require people to have their car repaired in a certain place. This has to do with the parts. And we've taken out lines 120 and 121, but we've left intact then 122 and 23. We just changed the G to F, and then we say that the insurer does not have to pay more. We've added the new language. The insurer does not have to pay more than a reasonable market price for parts of like kind and quality in adjusting a claim. So I've been led to believe, and I understand that this has been worked out between these parties and the Insurance Federation spokesperson. So,
okay, Senator Scheid, I have on the agenda here that John Deal. Did John want to say, Mr. Deal? Did you want to say anything to the bill?
I think this bill has been approved greatly.
Well. All right. Well, Senator Scheid, is there any other testimony from your side? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, then I would move that Senate File 1542 as amended be recommended to pass.
Okay. Senator Scheid, before we do that, could I ask, is there anybody else in the audience that would like to speak to this bill, either for or against, or offer any comments? Okay. Seeing none, then Senator Scheid, where is the bill going to go to? The floor?
Mr. Chairman, should go to the floor.
The floor. Okay. Senator Scheid renews her motion that Senate File 1542 be recommended to pass and pass as amended and go to the floor. Any discussion from committee members? Questions? Any comments? Seeing none, we'll vote. All those members in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay. The motion carries.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Okay.
Okay.
short, so I'm going to ask Senator Sieben. And there's an amendment. An author's amendment you're going to have, Senator Sieben.
Right.
On Senate File 69.
That's correct. And perhaps I should just run through the bill and then also the amendment first. Member, Senate File 69 is a bill that would prohibit expiration dates and fees on gift cards and gift certificates. And the amendment really does some substantial things that... Did you want to...
Well, Senator Sieben, I thought we would adopt it as an author's amendment and let you then discuss the bill as amended. Senator Marty moves adoption of the A1 amendment. I think all the members have it. This will put the bill in the form that Senator Sieben would like to discuss it and explain to us. Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Now, Senator Sieben, you have the bill the way you would like to present it to us. And I.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I'll just run through the amendment. It it takes out different provisions that I didn't write these down in order, so bear with me here, but a $5 cash back provision that was originally in the bill. We took that out after hearing from some concerns from organizations that perhaps give these $5 gift cards for promotional purposes or as gifts. They were worried that if they were redeemed, people could get cash back when they didn't give them that money. We also took out the provision for the $5 to use towards someone's credit or a debt that they owe to an institution. And Best Buy and Bachman's contacted me and were concerned that people could use a process called kiting on this, where people could get these gift cards, purchase them with a credit card, and then potentially use that to pay back their debt that they owe to that company. So we took that out after hearing those concerns. We took out the banks, credit unions, companies, and companies like American Express, and also calling cards and phone cards. And I'd be happy to answer any questions about why we did that. I think the next bill that I have, which is a resolution, gets into some of the preemption issues where the state of Minnesota really, because of different court cases, can't, because of exemption, can't say that we can regulate bank cards or other institutions that are federally chartered. So, but again, that we can get into that more in the, that will be pointed out more in the next bill. But the reason behind, the general reason why I think that this is a good consumer protection issue is that customers and deserve to get their money's worth out of a gift card. And when they buy a card, many people say that they believe that's a, that it's the company's promise to them to let that gift card be redeemed. And currently, as probably all members are aware, there isn't a pattern to what companies' gift cards have expiration dates or fees on them. Some coffee stores do, some don't. And I was just at, you know, I actually used quite a few gift cards and was at my Starbucks and Caribou cards. Caribou has no, Starbucks has no expiration date or fees attached to it. Whereas Caribou, if you read the very fine print on the back, it says that after 12 months of non-use, a $2 per month service fee will be deducted from the remaining balance until depleted. And I don't know about you, but it seems that in my wallet, I always have quite a few of these, and it's very likely that, you know, my Caribou card could be stuck at the back of my wallet, but if I didn't redeem it within that time period, I perhaps could have no value left on it. Small businesses or businesses will sometimes say that even if gift cards do expire, they will often still honor that expiration date. And I just, from talking to people, I think that that's great that some companies or businesses are willing to do that. But I don't think consumers know that that's a possibility, that they can take a gift card that has expired to a retailer or a business and ask that they still honor it. And I think that if we would ban expiration dates, then, you know, that would address that issue where there would be one somewhat more consistent message to the public. And finally, and again, this is kind of anecdotal here, but when I got married a couple years ago, I compiled a ton of gift cards as gifts for my wedding. And people will say, well, why can't you just use the gift card right away? Well, in my case, my husband and I wanted to save our gift cards so that once we move to a bigger house, we could use those gift cards to purchase new items that we wanted, or we wanted to kind of compile the value of all the gift cards, save them, and then use them at a later date. And I just urge members to think about that in terms of the additional flexibility that consumers would have if they were able, if their gift cards would not expire. So with that, perhaps we could hear from a couple of testifiers who are here to speak in favor of the bill.
Absolutely. Senator Sieben would.
Thank you. First, Brad Lato from the Minnesota's AFL-CIO is here.
Good evening, Mr. Lato.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senators. I appreciate the opportunity to say a few words in support of Senate File 69. Again, my name is Brad Lato. I'm Legislative Director for the Minnesota AFL-CIO, and the Minnesota AFL does support Senate File 69. I want to thank Senator Sieben for working on the bill, and actually senators on this committee who worked on the bill in 2005. There's a number of them. When the Senate did pass almost identical language now to the amended bill by the 2-to-1 margin, however, we were not able to move the bill in the House, in the other body, but that has now it's passed through three committees and is on the House floor. And I know we don't like to talk about the other body here, but I apologize for that.
Yeah, we'll forgive you that.
You're no doubt wondering why the Minnesota AFL-CIO would care about gift cards. We've often had convention resolutions or taken positions on consumer protection and privacy legislation in the past. And most recently, we support and commend the committee and legislature's work on predatory lending legislation. I know that just last week, I believe, worked on and is still progressing. In 2005, when the Senate began considering gift card legislation, the bill came up at our weekly legislative labor lobbyist meetings for a couple of weeks, and because we were asked to, you know, take a position by some folks on the bill, and so I brought it up for a couple of weeks at our labor lobbyist meeting, and the reaction was pretty incredible. Actually, the we talk about labor bills a lot of time at our labor lobbyist meeting, and I don't think I get the kind of reaction that I got when we discussed this legislation. It seems that almost everyone in the room had been touched by the gift card expiration date or balances being reduced. And I heard certainly from then and also in years past a number of folks that had given cards to their children or immediate family members and had the balances reduced and then had to explain or expire and had to explain why their kids that they should have used it quicker. So anyways, at that time we took a position in support of the legislation to support the legislation still, and the premise seems simple to us that if someone purchases a gift card, the value of the card should not be reduced or expire. Therefore, we would request your support for Senate File 69, and I'm happy to answer any questions, and I thank you very much for the time.
Any questions, Senator Vandeveer?
Yes, Madam Chair. So this is a good labor vote.
Well, Madam Chair and Senator Vandeveer, I would say certainly I will say that, and not that you wanted to necessarily discuss that, but in 2005 it did make it was brought up by a number of unions and did was included in our end of session ranking. Yes.
Madam Chair, the next testifier is Lee Grotchik, who is the Issues Director for the Minnesota Senior Federation.
Excellent.
Welcome to our committee.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members, my name is Lee Grotchik. I'm the Executive Director of the Senior Federation. I've actually changed titles since we talked. Minnesota Senior Federation wholeheartedly supports Senate File 69. The purchase of gift cards has become a game of chance or lottery. Certainly, the rules of the game are explained to some at the point of entry, But too often, the rules do not become apparent till after the time when the card is redeemed. We know, for instance, to take particular care when purchasing a car. We don't expect to find out after the fact that the car can only be driven on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and alternate weekends. But often when we purchase gift cards, that's sort of what happens. Many times it can't be used as we expected. For instance, it has an expiration date that's noted in the finest of print, either on the back of the card or on the sales receipt. And then, of course, there are the problems redeeming the card at face value at the time of purchase, what might be called hidden fees and penalty clauses. Around the holidays, this particular problem is particularly acute. And many seniors and people like myself use gift cards. I use it because it's daunting for myself as a parent to find the perfect gift for my daughter, who happens to be a teenager. And I know that her grandparents or aunts or uncles find the same problem purchasing for a teenager. And so we might say we take the cards way out and we buy the gift cards. And the fact is that often we find to our surprise that the card is not redeemable in the manner we expected. Perhaps it's a little thing, but when you stop to consider the volume of cards sold and lost dollars to consumer, it's not limited, and it's certainly not small. As I was walking in this evening, Brad and I were talking about our respective organizations' response to this legislation, and I, too, was quite frankly surprised when I brought it to my legislative committee, and there wasn't a person sitting in that room that didn't have a story, and each story reflected poorly on the use of gift cards. I think to sum it up with one response the most was that the most common refrain was gift cards are a ripoff, and that's the way the organization felt.
Any questions? Did you say your name Gratchik?
Gratchik.
Gratchik, I'm sorry.
Well, that's quite all right.
Any questions, Mr. Gratchik? Thank you so much. Senator Sieben, do you have anybody else?
That concludes my testimony, Madam Chair.
Okay. Senator Sieben, is there anybody else in the audience that would like to speak to the bill? Anybody for or against? Okay. Senator Prentner-Solon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Sieben, are there other states that have passed similar laws?
Senator Sieben.
Madam Chair and Senator, yes, there are. I have the list here, and there's approximately 7 states that prohibit expiration dates, and then there's a good handful that prohibit fees, and I don't have the number here that do both, but I think it's around 5 states that that prohibit both fees and expiration dates.
Thank you.
Senator Gerlach?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a few questions. As I'm listening to this, I'm sympathetic to what's going on, or people don't maybe know what they're buying and such. If gift cards are a ripoff, I'm wondering why do people keep buying them? Why wouldn't the trend be to, why isn't there, enough outrage where the marketplace would take care of that? And in fact, maybe the marketplace is taking care of it. In a lot of cases, a lot of people are, doing away with expiration dates because people do complain about that. I had some anecdotal stories. I had a gift certificate at a restaurant in Apple Valley, and I said this expired a couple of months ago. I said, but I'd be very disappointed if I couldn't still use this, and asked politely but forcefully, and guess what? They said, you know what? We're going to honor that. The businesses are not in the business to torque off customers. They want their business and such. So I just think the trend is there. I'm wondering, for me personally, I think that there's a high threshold for government intervention into the marketplace. And if it's a public safety issue, we should really get on that. If it's pervasive fraud, like we've been dealing with the whole issue of predatory lending, it's clear to everybody there's pervasive fraud there. And that we should jump on.
I don't know that this rises to the level of public safety. It certainly doesn't do there. I don't think it rises to fraud. I'm wondering where the consumer responsibility is. And Senator Sieben, you mentioned that there are different rules for all these different cards, and it's hard to manage. What's what on these? I would say that that's the difference in marketing tools. Some businesses are going to offer certain things, and it's that's why we have the marketplace. A diverse marketplace weeds out these sorts of things, and if a business is too harsh on that and they get a reputation that way, they're going to lose business and they're going to figure out real quick and alter their plans. I don't know that we have to have government intervention on this. You mentioned also that consumers don't know really what they're getting, and you know what? There might be some truth to that. I think there is. I think you're on a very valid point. Now, I might be harsher and say it's completely up to the consumer to ask, that they should, if you buy anything, you got to ask at the counter, is there an expiration date? And if they say yes, then make a decision. Do I want to buy this gift certificate for my parents or whatever it might be or for whoever? And they can make that decision. But in reality, not everybody does that. I understand that. And who knows? Employees can make mistakes and they may not know and all those sorts of things. So, but I think you're right about the consumers maybe don't know. And with proper disclosure, I think that can really take care of the problem. And I think you may know what I'm leading up to. And you mentioned about a consistent message to the public, and I think that's important. And I think that if we had disclosure and we had those rules applying uniformly, because I don't think we should be afraid of information, and then let the marketplace do what they want to do. Expiration dates, declining values, whatever it is, let the marketplace work, let people make decisions, and that's probably the amount of government intervention we need. I think that's an appropriate response to an appropriate problem that you've identified here. And so, Madam Chair, I would like to offer the A2 amendment if I could.
Senator Kulak.
And Madam Chair, while you're handing that out, that simply really gives the option to a retailer. If a retailer is going to offer gift certificates, gift cards, those sorts of things, that they shouldn't be able to expire without the consumer really knowing what they're buying, and I'll buy that. No pun intended. But I'll go along with that. So this amendment would essentially give the option that if you're going to sell a gift card and if you're going to make it expire and if you're going to have it to be a declining value, or any kind of things along those lines, that you need to print that. It needs to be disclosed on the face of the gift certificate or gift card. So that way when you go into the... Oh, we need a copy of it up front.
Senator, I think she's bringing one to you.
So that if you go into the restaurant and you're at the front desk and you're buying that, or you're at Caribou or wherever it is you're at, or the Mall of America or Target or wherever, that you'll see that on the card. And there's no problem with not knowing it and such. So anyway, I think you get the gist of what I'm getting at here. And members, I just think that this is probably an appropriate response for a legitimate and appropriate problem that Senator Sieben has brought forward. And I think this is a very, very reasonable. And so, members, I would encourage you to vote for my amendment.
Senator Gerlach, this is not in coordination with your bringing up the amendment because I hadn't seen the amendment yet, but I received a sample of let me back up a little bit. We're passing around a sample of what is currently the Mall of America card. And now, Senator Marty, it doesn't belong to me, so I urge you not to deface it.
Just pass it along.
But observe, I don't know if, well, no, there's not a person on the committee that was here when Senator Skoglund presented his bill a couple of years ago. True. But Senator Metzen and Senator Sparks were on the committee, but they're not here now. I think what happened was a situation with the Mall of America card, and they've since changed the bank that they use. And so I think U.S. Bank now provides this card. It's a Visa card. It isn't affected by Senator Sieben's bill, but I brought it to show members where they've come, you know, I guess to show you what the kind of card it really actually, because it's a Visa, it is federally chartered here. It's not covered by the language that's left in her bill. But it also shows the disclosure, if you will, which is timely with Senator Gerlach's amendment. And Senator Sieben, do you want to respond to that?
Sure. Well, first, thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Gerlach, I appreciate some of your comments. And just to give by way of background, I, you know, agree with a lot of what you said. It in 2006, $80 billion was spent on gift cards, including $8 billion, which was never redeemed. So, you know, perhaps that's because I don't have a breakdown of how much of that expired and was not able to be redeemed versus how much of this was that people lost. I would imagine that the bulk of it is that people misplaced their gift cards or their gift certificates. But to respond to your comment about, again, if you go to a business, will they redeem your gift card? And I think that generally for small businesses, this may be the case where they're willing to take this. I have a girlfriend who had a gift certificate for a whole spa day that her husband gave to her, and it was valued at over $500, and they would not redeem it after it had expired, and she took she wrote to the Better Business Bureau and, you know, tried to do everything she could to get some of that value redeemed, and they wouldn't redeem it. But I agree that in general, if consumers realize that maybe if they argue with the merchant or bring it to their attention, they would want, generally I'd say people want to do the right thing, or businesses do. And with regard to your amendment, though, I'd have a couple questions. The first is that I would presume that on the face, you mean on the front of it, or I don't know if there's a definition of face, if it matters which side it's on.
Senator Gerlach.
Oh, well, Madam Chair, I don't know. I asked counsel to draft it up. So
interesting.
Madam Chair, that'd be my interpretation.
Right. So, Madam Chair.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you. And Senator Gerlach, then, for instance, on this Caribou card, it wouldn't apply because it's very much, and I thank you, I have seen some of these, which is a positive thing, but, you know, on the Caribou, it says in very small print at the back, after 12 months of non-use, a $2 per month service fee will be deducted from the remaining balance until depleted, unless prohibited by law. And I guess that's what I want to throw back to you is, you know, companies like Caribou are doing this because they can here in the state of Minnesota, and why wouldn't we want to be on the side of consumers and say, you know, they still offer gift cards in Wisconsin or other states where there are these where they're not allowed to do this. So why give them that extra ability to make more money on a value that you placed on the card with the idea that it was worth the value you paid for it? So, you know, I guess that would be something that I'd ask the committee to consider before adopting this amendment.
Senator Sieben, I think that the Caribou card would not be I think they wouldn't be able to sell it in Minnesota the way you've described it. But I was wondering if, Senator Gerlach, you might say front of the gift certificate on line 1.3 instead of face on the front. Is that more easily understandable if we did this amendment?
Well, Madam Chair, I guess I don't understand the difference, but I can certainly make a amendment to my amendment and incorporate that, certainly, by striking face and inserting front.
Senator Gerlach, I'm not sure it matters either. I think, to me, the face means the front, but I think clearly the front of the card, this is a Senator Marty special here. This is an Office Max. It's expired, and that's why I'm the front. It expired 3 days ago. He missed the boat here. But, but to me, that's clearly the front. It may or may not be the face as opposed to, you know, the fine print on the back. So, yes, Senator
Sieben. Excuse me, Madam Chair, I'd just also like to say that something you may want to consider, Senator Gerlach, is whether or not you want it to be permanent. You know, some cards now they have where it's detachable, a sticker, where you can peel that off, and that's just something else that you may want to consider. you know, I'm not in favor of your amendment, but that may be something else that you want to consider, whether you say it's permanently disclosed on the face of the card. So it can't be a sticker where you take the sticker off because
you have to use it.
Why ever, whatever.
Senator Gerlach.
Madam Chair, I don't think that it really matters whether it's permanent or sticker, and the reason is because the retailer is who sells it is not going to peel the sticker off. And again, that would then be in the hands of the consumer. At some point, we have to, I mean, we can't hold a consumer's hand through, you know, follow them home and make sure they leave the sticker on like a mattress tag, and, you know, and make sure that we're there to check their wallets to make sure that they're using their gift cards before they expire. I mean, there's just, Senator Stephen, I just think there's limitations, and I think that doing a disclosure is reasonable, and I would certainly want to know, and if I forget to ask, you know, the way it's disclosed to me, I think it's very reasonable, and I think it would go a long way to getting at the problem of what you're trying to get at, and again, it's an important one, but I want to be measured in the response that we do. I don't want to swat a fly with a sledgehammer. I think that we should use an appropriate and balanced approach to this problem. And so I think it's fine. I don't think it matters whether it's permanent or a sticker. But Madam Chair, I'd certainly, again, I don't know if it was official or whatever, but we can certainly then I would.
You want to incorporate front instead of face.
Members understand that we can
fine.
Certainly
I think it's
do that.
A little more clear.
We'll strike face and insert front on line 1.3, and I'll incorporate that into the amendment.
Okay, Senator Gerlach. I'm inclined to agree with Senator Gerlach. Senator Sieben, can you tell us what cards we're down to now? What's covered by your bill? Is it essentially retailers, retail merchants, such as Caribou, such as Starbucks, such as Macy's, Kohl's, Best Buy, whatever?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Sieben.
Yes, retailers and also, in some cases, restaurants have gift certificates or gift cards, so they would still be included.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I also just wanted to point out that, again, on the issue of disclosure, and Mr. Graschik pointed this out, that, you know, the size of the font to, you know, maybe something that you want to consider if it's really in tiny print. Again, whether or not people can notice that is up to the committee to decide.
Senator Marty would suggest something about 4 inches high. Drawn an appropriate disclosure. The gift card, unfortunately, won't fit in your purse or your pocket. Senator Gerlach.
Madam Chair, I thought of that as well on the size of that, and oftentimes when we do disclosures, we do dictate a certain point size. Oftentimes we'll do a minimum of 10-point font, which I believe is the size that the bill is printed in. I believe this is a
12.
Oh, this is 12? Okay. Well, then 10 would be a slightly one notch less than that. And on a card, it might, you know, I mean, 10 is probably certainly adequate. And I'd certainly be willing to make another adjustment to my amendment and put in, after the word on line 1.3, after certificate, insert in no less than a 10-point font.
That's pretty big.
If that works, if with the council, then we can certainly incorporate that, and that makes sense to me. That's a concern.
Mr. Stein, can you read that whole sentence to us then? This would be on line 15 of page 1 of the bill.
You read the sentence in the bill or just the amendment?
No, just the amendment. After, okay. At the end of line 15 there, before the period after dormancy.
Would read, unless the fee and expiration date are disclosed on the front of the gift certificate in no less than 10-point font.
Senator Sieben.
Madam Chair, I still would rather not have this language on the bill, but it's certainly up to the will of the committee.
Right. It seems like that's an improvement. Would you agree?
Oh, right.
Yeah, to
yes.
Specify certainly. That. Senator Prettner-Solon.
Madam Chair and Senator Sieben and members, I speak against the amendment. There's nothing that irritates me more than seeing the that there is a fee associated with purchasing a gift card, and that the fee is not even just a straight fee. It's usually incremental or after periods of time. And then I have to try to remember that. And it's even harder for my 12-year-old grandson when I give him a gift card. And then to find out that it has an expiration date when he may be trying to gather enough of them together to purchase something meaningful for himself. And so I have stopped even frequenting those stores. Well, that means the whole mall at the in the city of Duluth right now, because I am not willing to, first of all, purchase those types of gift cards. After purchasing the first one, I'll never do another one. I feel that we have a right or a responsibility to protect our consumers. And I think that there are some people that find it very difficult. As much as they are supposed to be responsible, there are lots of low-income people that and people that are of low functioning also that receive gift cards that can't always understand how they're managed. And so I would vote against anything that weakens this bill.
Thank you. Any comments? Were we ready to vote on Senator Johnson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now I'm confused.
Yes, Senator Johnson.
By what Senator Prettner-Solon just said. I agree with you. I think these are, you know, and I agree with Senator Gerlach. They're self-regulating. People are going to start hating them and not using them. But doesn't the amendment make it more palatable in that the instructions are on the front of the card?
Senator Prettner-Solon.
No, Madam Chair, actually what it says is that then everything in the bill doesn't stand if it's stated on the front of the card. So
if it's disclosed on the card, the fee and the expiration date would have to be disclosed. Otherwise, they may not sell the card in Minnesota.
There's
yes,
no
Senator
fee
Johnson.
And there's no expiration date in the bill?
Right. The bill has no.
That's
correct. Oh,
Senator
I
Johnson,
see.
The bill precludes a card that would have an expiration date or a service fee attached. And Senator Gerlach's amendment says, unless they disclose that fact to you in a 10-point font.
Then the bills.
So, any other?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Sieben.
Thank you. Kathy Haney from the Minnesota Retailers just wanted to add a couple comments, please, quickly.
Ms. Haney, welcome.
Senator Scheid, committee, my name is Kathy Haney, and we represent the Minnesota Retailers Association. We really appreciate the willingness of Senator Sieben to work with us on the bill, and the language as amended is language that the retailers can support. We found that most of our members have gone to the requirements of the bill in terms of not having a declining balance and also not having an expiration date. And so, we do support the bill as amended.
Okay, thank you. Members, ready to vote on the Gerlach Amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
The chair is in doubt. Those in favor, please raise your hand. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Four. Okay. Those opposed. The motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. So we have the bill. Senator Marty, do you want to move the Senate File 69 as amended, because it does have the author's amendment to be recommended to pass, and this would go to the floor, I believe.
Yes.
Any further discussion? Members ready to vote? Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to speak to the bill? Seeing no one, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, the motion prevails. Senator Sieben,
you have... Thank you, Madam Chair. Matt, thank you. Madam Chair and members, Senate File 935 attempts to, originally when we talked about, when I looked into this issue, I realized that many of the gift cards that had the most more expiration dates or more fines happen to be bank cards or institutions that were, because of preemption, were not covered under Minnesota statute. So this resolution calls upon, asks Congress to help regulate the gift card industry so that banks that are federally chartered and other institutions can begin to have some more regulation. And I would believe that you also have a handout that discusses an FTC settlement with Kmart, which I guess that was more handled in the previous bill. But the there is some federal regulation that is occurring, but not as much, perhaps, as some would like to see. So this resolution calls upon Congress to limit fees and expiration dates.
Members, any discussion on the resolution? You're asking that Congress not preempt our laws regarding gift cards, so that that would mean what you're looking for is the state going further than we just did tonight, right? You would like to see us cover bank cards, to be able to cover the visas, et cetera. Yes, Senator Marty.
It seems, she's urging the federal government to enact legislation banning them and not preempting us from this.
Right. But Senator Stephen, concerning you would rather have had your original bill. I mean, you're saying because a lot of it was preempted, and I know that's why you worked with the banks, and but you would like to see us get to the point where all gift cards, or all of these cards,
right, Madam Chair,
bank cards.
Since the state cannot do what we would like, what I would have liked it to be able to do under the previous bill. This resolution to Congress asks Congress to act to pass legislation that would restrict service fees and expiration dates on nationally chartered banks, et cetera.
Any discussion? Is there anybody that wants to testify regarding the resolution? I don't see anybody. Senator Marty.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure resolutions in Congress do much more than get filed away, but I think it's a good attempt to try, so I'll move the bill.
Senator Marty moves Senate File 935 be recommended to pass, and it would go to, does it go to?
Four.
Oh, it's that rule. You're right.
I think it goes to rules.
Correct.
At that point, Senator Vandeveer.
Could we amend it to ask Congress not to preempt any of our laws?
Well, you certainly could offer that amendment, Senator Vandeveer. But some of us think that sometimes they save us from ourselves. Sometimes we don't approve of what they do. So it's a mixed bag. Any further discussion on the part of members? Then, all those in favor of the Marty motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Sieben.
Thank you very much.
You're off to rules.
Thank you.
That goes to rules, yes. Senator Rest. Senator Rest, you're the last person on our agenda, and I just wish that I could leave when you're done, as you're going to be able to. Right? Is that right? Have you done your bill in judiciary?
Yes.
So, Senator Rest,
thank you.
Senate File 218 before
Thank you,
us.
Madam Chair. On Senate File 218, the work on it represents activity in this issue on a bill from last year where we were dealing with airport zoning issues, and the governor signed our bill, but issues had been raised by the realtors about some of the disclosure requirements, and we had promised at that time that we would work with them to address their concerns And we have done that, and we have, I think now, have accord with all the stakeholders, the bar, et cetera. And what you the language that you have before you is represents that agreement.
Senator Rest, did you amend this in the other in your committee before you? Was it amended at then? So you don't need to do an amendment here this evening.
Madam Chair, I would. We should not need to do that. Although I just was in another committee where the action of the committee was not reflected, the Transportation Committee was not reflected in the committee report. And I am seeing now that, on the other hand, that we do have in the Senate, you should have an engrossment reflecting the changes that were made in the State and Local Government Operations and Oversight Committee. So there should be an engrossment here.
Senator Rest, we do have the first engrossment,
yes.
And that would be
yes,
that would represent then the work of the committee. And you,
that's correct.
I assume it's not as it was introduced, but you worked on the issues with.
That's correct.
And I appreciate that, and I know that you have some knowledge of this issue and the concerns of the realtors. You and I have both worked on
that's correct.
Similar legislation, so I appreciate that. So, members, we are looking then at. The duties of brokers or salespersons. Ms. Diori, would you like to speak to?
Certainly. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Susan Diori, and I represent the Minnesota Association of Realtors. As Senator Rest did indicate, this is a compromise language that we came forth with pertaining to airport zoning disclosure requirements. And essentially, the language in the bill pretty much reflects mirrors the predatory offender disclosure language that we currently have in legislation. So the disclosure pertaining to airport zoning is similar now to other disclosure requirements that both sellers as well as real estate licensees are obligated to disclose at time of sale.
So, and Senator Rest, this has to do with airport zones because if you live closer, you're I'm trying to think if it goes like this. Like this, I think it goes like this. And so if you live within a zone, there are certain requirements, I think, that you can't rebuild your home if it's more than 50% destroyed or something. Yeah.
And also, it's just the it's trying to standardize the disclosure that would be made either by a seller or the realtor to indicate that if a buyer is inquiring about airport or if you're in an airport zone, that the disclosure can direct them to the county recorder to look up whether or not they're in an airport safety zone.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Metzen.
Yeah, this has been worked on by just about everybody concerned, and I think it's fine. And it deals with the decibel level, too. And is that correct or not?
So this is only about safety zones,
okay, there's
Madam
no,
Chair.
There's no noise in this one.
It's whether or not the degree to which you're in the flight path, but it doesn't have to do
with noise
the
level.
Noise level at all. This is not a noise issue.
Okay.
I just have to share a quick story, and then we're going to go. But
is this a short story?
You're going to go without acting on my bill?
In a former life, Senator Rest, I was a licensed real estate salesperson. And I had a property that I was showing very close to the Crystal Airport. And I know it was an early Sunday afternoon. And I was really nervous when a plane came by, and it felt like I could reach up and grab it. You know, and it was one of those, I mean, it really was not very loud, but all these people are just going to be just terrified of living so close to an airport. They were moving from 72nd and Lyndale South.
Oh.
So they were really excited to barely hear this airport airplane going over their heads, and they did buy that house. Remember, Senator Metzen then moves that Senate File 218 be recommended to pass, and it's ready to go
to the floor.
Senator Vandeveer.
One comment. I wonder if the realtors or Senator Rest would mind if we stuck contiguous lots on here.
Senator Rest, is that a question? She's nodding. She would mind.
I would mind.
Yeah. But maybe
that
another
could add
bill.
Some controversy.
Senator Vandeveer. Any further discussion on this? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The Metzen motion.
Thank you
prevails.
Very much, Madam Chair.
Senator Rest, thank you. Ms. Dury, thank you. Members, on Thursday, 30 minutes after session, we're going to meet in room 318. Okay? And so that's not the most comfortable chairs, so I think we'll move quickly. With that, the meeting is adjourned.